الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد،
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على الله brothers and sisters.
كنا بنتكلم عن الاحتباء، يعني بصفتنا التنبيه على أن موضوع الاحتباء هذه الجلسة كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
with
والسلام.
ألفية السيرة. الاحتباء is some kind of a
نهى
way
عنها
to sit.
إذا أدت إلى انكشاف عورة الإنسان.
A way to sit where you raise your knees and keep them as close as possible to your chest. But be, please be aware that the Prophet peace be upon him ordered us not to do it whenever there is a possibility that that might show our aura or our aura.
كذلك أيضا إذا كان في حضور ناس. كذلك أيضا ينهى عنها في الصلاة أثناء الصلاة.
It's also not allowed during the prayer. In a way that is similar to how the monkey sits, you should not sit that kind of sitting in a prayer. Like the brother is sitting.
يكون جالسا على اليد وناصبا قدميه وهكذا في اليد بجنبه، فهذا يسمى الإقعاء، إقعاء القلب.
Which is called an إقعاء. This is forbidden during the prayer.
بعض الشراح الحديث يقول يعني الإقعاء هو الاحتباء. الاحتباء من غير ضم اليدين، ضم اليدين أو. والموضع الثالث اللي هو عن الحبوة يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب.
And the third situation in which ihtiba is forbidden is during the Friday sermon. During the Friday sermon, this is also not allowed.
إذا كانت يعني أن هذه الجلسة جلسة احتباء، يعني ربما تفضي إلى النوم يعني والنعاس وكذا، الإنسان يعني كان جالسا في جلسة يعني قلقة شوية كان دائما منفرد يعني ولا يأتيه النعاس وكذا، فأخذ به يعني احتج به على كراهة يعني هذه الجلسة أثناء الخطبة اللي هو جلسة احتباء، سواء الحبوة في اليد أو السوق، وبعضهم يقول الحبوة المكروهة حبوة السوق.
So we continue now. And actually, we are here going to start a new section that will talk about the etiquettes of eating and drinking. When the Prophet peace be etiquette that the Prophet peace be upon him followed in his food, the etiquettes of having food.
قال ولم يعد قط طعاما يحضره يأكله إن يشتهي أو يذره، ولم يكن جلوسه متكيا في حالة الأكل ولكن مقعيا. قل كان المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يعد طعاما يحضره عليه الصلاة والسلام قط.
Would never say anything wrong about food that is given to him. Out of his politeness, he would never say or mention any shortcomings about food that is given to him, no matter what that food is. He never mentioned shortcomings of any food that was given to him. It's either that he eats it if he finds it tasty, or that he likes it, or that he leaves it if he didn't like it.
لذلك لما أكل الضب على مائدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الضب يعني.
And that is why when the lizard was eaten in front of him, one of the companions asked him, is it haram? He said, it's not haram, but I don't feel like to eat it. So the story says that, or the hadith says that
فقال لم يكن بأرض قومي
that the lizard or a lizard was cooked and was introduced to a the table where or to the place where the Prophet peace be upon him was sitting with some companions. So one of the companions, when they found that the Prophet was not eating it, one of the companions asked the Prophet, "Is it haram, O Prophet?" He said, "No, but it, I didn't grow up eating it, so I don't feel like eating it." Or that it was not traditionally eaten in where I come from, so you didn't find me liking it, or you wouldn't find me eating it. I don't feel like eating
it.
And he, peace be upon him, would eat. Sitting crisscross or he wouldn't lean to any side while eating. He wouldn't eat leaning to a pillow. He wouldn't do that. Peace be upon him. Or leaning to one of the sides. He wouldn't do that.
لكن كان يأكل مقعيا يأكل مقعيا مقعاء يأكل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مقعيا اللي هو مقعاء يعني مر بنا له في مقعاء اللي هو ذكرناه قبل قليل هو مثل الاحتباء اللي هو يشبه إيه يشبه الاحتباء وفي نوع آخر من الإقعاء اللي هو أن زي الجلسة اللي هي بين السجدتين
Or that he would sit exactly the same kind of sitting that is between the two sajdas, as Sheikh will show us here. Exactly as Sheikh is doing here. Sit in a way where the two foot, where the where his feet are supporting his back.
أو على الإقعاء الذي هو يعني
the same exact type of sitting like the one between the two sajdas, the two prostrations.
وقال الحكمة في هذا أن هذه الجلسة يعني تجعل الإنسان يتقلل من الطعام كان الذي يتقلل
And they said that the wisdom behind that is that this kind of sitting would cause you to eat less, and the Prophet peace be upon him liked to eat less, not more.
متربعا او معتمدا على احتياجه فهو جائز لكن الاكمل والاحسن ان اراد الاحتياج
It doesn't mean that we are forbidden from eating leaning to any side or sitting in any way that we want, but sitting in the way that the Prophet peace be upon him sat while eating is definitely more perfect.
يعجبه الزراع والدباء والعسل المحبوب والحلواء. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر هنا يعني بعض الأطعمة التي كان المصطفى عليه الصلاة والسلام يحبها عليه الصلاة والسلام. كان يعجبه الذراع يعني ذراع الشاة.
Out of the lamb, he would love the shoulder. He loved the shoulder of the lamb. That was the most beloved piece from the lamb to him. He loved the shoulder. He loved to eat the shoulder. And that's why that Jewish lady, she asked, what is the most beloved piece of the lamb to him? They said the shoulder. So she injected the shoulder with poison. She invited the Prophet to food and she injected the shoulder of the lamb to poison.
كان يعجبه الدباء والدباء اللي هو القرع او اليقطين
he also liked the pumpkin
يعني انواع القرع كلها تعتبر من الدباء
all the types of pumpkin he used to love
من الدباء يعني تكون كوسه يعني تعتبر نوع من الدباء
and all the types or all the species under that including squash as Sheikh said squash is also some type of pumpkin by the way All the whole pumpkin and the squash and all this belongs to one species or one family of food. So the Prophet loved that family of food that included the pumpkin, included the squash. And the Prophet would find it in the dish, would follow where it is in the dish and eat it. He used to love it, peace be upon him. And then Anas started to love it, to love the squash when he saw that the Prophet peace be upon him loved it.
والحلواء الحلواء هي يعني قالوا ايه كل ما عولج من الطعام بسكر او عسل يعني حلويات يعني
he also liked honey and he liked anything that is sweet so like desserts
العسل او كده تعالج بها يعني تصنع منها يعني يدخل في صنعها العسل او السكر فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الحلواء ويحب العسل عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ويأكل البطيخ والقثاء برطب يبغي به الدواء يقول يطفي برد زين حر ذا وكل إرشاد فعنه أخذا يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل البطيخ
والقثاء
بالرطب البطيخ بالرطب ويأكل القثاء بالرطب يعني يأكل البطيخ بالرطب يعني يأكل البطيخ
ومعه used to love the watermelon with dates
يأكل القثاء يأكل القثاء
and also the cucumbers with dates
يأكل البطيخ مع الرطب ويأكل القثاء مع الرطب وكان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم يطفئ برد زيني حر ذا برد زين اللي هو البطيخ والقثاء بردهما يطفئ حر الرطب يعني الرطب
and he used to say peace be upon him that the taste
نفعه يعني
of
ما فيها من الحلاوة وكده يعني
watermelon and
برد البطيخ
or either the taste of either the watermelon or cucumbers quenches the taste of which is the little bitterly taste or acrimonious taste of the dates. And she says that the modern medicine says that it would be nice to eat two varieties of food in the same meal, like combining between something hot and something quenchy. Hot meaning not hot like in temperature, but hot like something that is that is hot, that is the opposite of sweet, like sour, something sour and something sweet. Both of them in the same meal would usually give you would give your stomach more comfort. Sweet and sour in the same meal.
قال يأكل بالأصابع الثلاثة يأكل بالأصابع الثلاثة يلعقها لقصد البركة.
He would eat peace be upon him with three fingers. He would use three fingers in his food, in his eating. The three fingers, the middle, the index, and the thumb. The middle, the index, and the thumb. The three fingers, the middle, the index, and the thumb. Peace be upon him. He would use them to eat. Of course, Shinsis, we're not saying that you shouldn't eat with with a spoon, but what the Prophet peace be upon him did was the most perfect thing. So it would be great if you could follow in his footsteps, even when it comes to eating. But you don't have to if you cannot do that. Now we have spoons and we have forks and all sorts of sorcery and cutlery that we can use to eat. The Prophet peace be upon him used to lick the tips of his fingers or his fingertips when he is done eating.
كان لا يرفع القصعة حتى يلعقها فإن في آخر الطعام البركة، كما يقول يعني لا تدرون في أي طعامكم البركة. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني يلعق القصعة، ربما البقايا التي بقيت
And he would not leave any remains in his plate. His plate would be clean. He cleans his plate because of the fact that he would never leave any remains in his
plate.
He'd start his food or his eating by Bismillah, and he'd finish his food by Alhamdulillah.
فيبدأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بسم الله ويختتم بحمد الله تعالى في الأكل والشرب. إذا أراد أن يأكل أو يشرب يفتتح بالبسملة بسم الله، وإذا فرغ يقول الحمد لله عليه السلام. قال يشرب في ثلاثة أنفاسا يمص فهو أهنأ اختلاسا. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشرب في ثلاثة أنفاس، يعني يشرب
or drink drink on three installments. So he would drink on the first installment and then he would take a breath and then drink again and then take a breath and then drink a third and the last time. So basically he would take his need out of water on three installments. He would take his he would take his need out of water on three installments. Between every one and the other there is a breath, and he would only sip the water and not gulp it like many people do. So he would only sip and not take in huge amounts of water in one mouth. Just sip. Sip and on three installments. And these three installments between each and every one, there is a breath. He takes breath. So he takes the first one and then takes a breath, the second one and then takes a breath, and then take the third one. And again, takes sips and not fill in with water as if it's filling a tank. He wouldn't do that, peace be upon him. And he would take the pot of water from which he's drinking away from his mouth and his nose, so that when he breathes between the three installments, he would breathe away from the pot, so that his breath would not go into the pot. Because usually, you wouldn't definitely feel disgusted from the Prophet, peace be upon him. I wish that I would drink his saliva. What people do is that, unfortunately, when they are in a gathering or so, they drink from the same pot, and when they do that, or from the same bottle, and when they do that, and they want to follow the sunnah, unfortunately, they breathe in the pot or the bottle. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't breathe in the bottle. We should take the bottle away from our nose and mouth and breathe, and then take it back and take sips. But not breathe into the bottle or the pot of water.
ليبين جواز ذلك. منها مرة شرب صلى الله عليه وسلم زمزم قائما عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And the Prophet peace be upon him, he did drink standing and sitting. In fact, there was once where there was a pot of water hung on the ceiling, and the Prophet peace be upon him used it, or actually a bag of water or a sack of water hung to the ceiling, and the Prophet peace be upon him attached to the ceiling, and the Prophet peace be upon him stretched his hands and did drink some water out of it, or took some water out of it. So there are some hadiths that guided us not to drink standing, but these hadiths are not referring to this as a forbidding or as a violation in our religion. In fact, it's just as a disliked act, as a hated or a disliked act. Is that it is recommended that you drink while sitting. It is recommended that you drink while sitting, but it is not haram to drink while standing. It is not haram to drink while standing.
يناول الأيمن قبل الأيسر إلا بإذنه لحق الأكبر.
And he, when he would be in a gathering, he would give water to the people in, to his right before the people to his left, unless there is someone who is more aged, then he would respect the age. Then he would respect the age first. So he would give people who are aged, he would give them preference. He would give them preference. But other than that, he usually gives those that are to his right, and it goes in circle until it comes back to the people that are to his left, to his immediate left.
يسقي الجالسين يبدأ بكبير القوم، يعني كان الذي يأتي بالشراب يبدأ أولا بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم داخل بالشراب، لا يسقي من عن يمينه هو، وإنما يسقي كبير القوم، ثم كبير القوم يشرب، ثم هو يعطي بعد ذلك من
And the sunnah is that you bring the water and give it to the most significant person who is sitting in that gathering. And that most significant person who is sitting in the gathering drinks and then gives the water to whoever to his immediate right, and it goes all the way in the circle until it comes back to the immediate left of that most significant person. So it would come to the Prophet peace be upon him first to drink from it, and then the Prophet handles it to hands it to the person to his right, and then it goes all the way until it comes back to the person who is immediately to his left. Because there was once an incident when the Prophet peace be upon him was sitting, and to his right there was a young boy, and to his left there were some of the old companions like Abu Bakr and Umar. So the Prophet peace be upon him took the permission of that boy. He said, "Don't you mind? Do you mind? Do you mind that I give the water to the elderly people first?" And look at this politeness. He's asking the boy, a little boy. Oh my God. He's asking a little boy. He's just taking the permission of a little boy. And Sheikh says he's doing that because he is taking the permission from the one who owes the right. It is the right of the boy. And even though he is a boy, he is a boy, he is taking his permission. So when the boy was asked his permission, he said, "I will never let go of a right that I can take from you, O Prophet." So the boy insisted on being given the water from the Prophet, peace be upon him, because they loved him big deal. They loved him great deal. And when he saw that he will get the water from the Prophet, or after the Prophet drinks from it, he said, "No, I want to drink from it after you." So the boy ended up drinking before Abu Bakr and Umar, and it was not because he was selfish, but because he wanted to drink after the Prophet, peace be upon him. He wanted to taste the water after the Prophet sipped from it, peace be upon him. That's how much they loved him. But the point here is that he, out of his politeness, he wanted to take the permission of the boy, but the boy wouldn't let go. I don't think anyone would let go either. He used to love the water that he drinks to be cold and nice, nicely cold.
قالت كان أحب الشراب إليه الحلو البارد.
And usually in his drinks, he loved the drink that is cold and sweet.
وكان يعجبه الشراب الحلو البارد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Peace be upon him.
وكان يحب اللبن عليه الصلاة والسلام.
He also used to love milk.
ويستزيد منه.
He used to love milk.
إذا شرب اللبن يقول اللهم بارك لنا فيه وزدنا منه.
And he would say, "Oh Allah, bless it for us and make it more."
Or give
us more of it. And he used to say, peace be upon him, that there is nothing that would replace food and drink except for milk. And that makes sense. I mean, look at the young children, they remain on milk until fairly advanced age. So they would remain on milk from the time that they are born all the way to the time that they are 3 or 4, sometimes even 5 and 6, they would remain on milk. Milk is the most important drink for children. And the Prophet peace be upon him used to say that nothing can replace food and drink except for milk. Now we move to a new section talking about the etiquettes of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in clothing.
يلبس ما من الثياب وجد من الإزار والقميص والرداء. يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبس ما وجده من الثياب عليه الصلاة والسلام. يلبس ما وجده من الثياب عليه الصلاة والسلام. فمن ضمن أنواع الثياب التي كان يلبسها صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا كان من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دائما، يعني كان لا يتكلف مفقودا ولا يرد موجودا، يعني شيء موجود يقنع به عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And he'd be very in the etiquettes of his clothes, of the way he wore clothes, peace be upon him, is that he would be very happy with what he had. Very happy with what he had, very pleased with what he had, very satisfied with what he had, peace be upon him. But in general, Arabs at that time used to categorize clothes into two categories: garment pieces and full garments. The full garments are garments that would be like one piece to cover the whole body, one piece to cover the whole body, probably like the one that Sheikh is wearing now. This is one piece that covered the whole body. One piece covering the whole body. And the other category of clothes is multiple pieces of garments, and each one would cover part of the body. Like we do nowadays, like we do now, trousers, shirts, these are different pieces of garments, and each one of them would cover a part of the body, not the whole body. So the first thing is called izar. And that izar is a piece of garment that was wrapped, that would wrap the lower part of the body. It would wrap the lower part of the body. So izar and rida, these are the two garments. Izar is what wraps the lower part of the body, and rida is what covers the upper part of the body, the torso.
النصف الأسفل أو جزء منه أو كذا، لكن طالما يعني هو وضع على
She says that rida used to cover the shoulder, and sometimes it's long enough to the extent that it would even cover also the lower part of the body, like the legs. The upper one is called rida, and the lower one is called izar. So the rida sometimes is long enough to cover even the lower part of the body. And there is the qamis too. And the qamis, actually the qamis is what is exactly like what Sheikh is wearing now. This is called qamis, which we call now in some of the countries jallabiyya, and some of the countries call it thawb. This is exactly like the one that Sheikh is wearing now. It's called qamis. And in some of the hadiths, it was the most beloved garment to the Prophet, peace be upon him, the most beloved type of garment to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, would wear izar and rida, but the one that is more beloved to him would be the qamis. And remember the chapter of Yusuf or Joseph, where that lady pulled him from his qamis, and tore his qamis. And also when he gave his qamis to his the people that took it back to his father, and when they took it back to his father, to his brothers, and when they took it back to his father, and threw the qamis on the face of his father became sightful again. He was again able to see after he was blind. And Chef says even the westernized or western type of shirts, these you can consider also kameez, but they are short. They don't cover the lower part of the body. They made it too short, Chef says. But the kameez usually should go to the calf bone or the shin actually should go all the way to the shin. But he says that here in the West they made it too short. But it is still actually a kameez. So the shirt is the kameez, but the difference between the shirt and the old times and the shirt in the new times is that the shirt in the new times was made very short, but in the old times it was long enough to cover even the lower part of the body. Goes all the way to below the knees and basically to the shin, to the middle of the shin.
البردة قالوا كساء أسود مربع، كساء أسود مربع فيه صور تلبسه الأعراب، كساء أسود مربع فيه صور تلبسه
One of the things that he used to love to wear is something called burda. And the burda is basically a garment that is a square garment. A square garment that they used to put it on their shoulders. Square shaped garment that was printed. It was always printed. Printed here means it had pictures and things like that. And the Prophet peace be upon him used to wear it. Used to wear that burda. And the burda is a garment that is usually worn above the garments. Another type of garment that covers the upper part of the body on top of the lower garment is called shamla, and the Prophet peace be upon him used to wear it too. And this shamla is similar to the burda, except that it's made out of wool. And people who wear it on top of their on top of other garments, basically. It's usually made of wool. And the wool comes from either lambs or camels or goats.
قال وبردة وشملة وحبرة وحبرة الحبرة ثوب أخضر مخطط أو يعني كساء أخضر مخطط من برود اليمن. الحبرة نوع من البرود.
And there is one specific type of burda that the Prophet peace be upon him used to like, called hidara. And this is a type of clothes that used to come from Yemen at the time. It used to come from Yemen, which is the southern part of the peninsula.
هي بوزن عنبة وهي برد يماني برد نوع من البرود نعرفنا البرد اللي هو عبارة عن إيه كساء مربع هي الحبرة يعني نوع من البرود حبرة نوع من البرود يماني يعني يسمع في اليمن مخططة يعني نوع من البرود ولا تكون ايه مخططة في الحقوق. قال الداودي لونها اخضر.
One of
قال
the
ابن بطال
scholars called al-Dawudi and another called Ibn Battal, he said that it used to look green, it was green. It was very decorated, very decorated, and looked really great. So Sheikh says again, it's a square shaped, so that you imagine it, it's a square shaped garment that looked, that was green and was striped, striped. And well decorated with lots of decorations in that garment made of cotton. That is the hibara.
Hibara.
He used to wear it, peace be upon him.
قال لابس أي قال يعني وبردة وشملة وحبرة وجبة أو فقباء حبرة. الجبة هو القباء. الجبة اللي هي يعني أشبه ما يكون حاليا اللي هي البشت اللي هو يقال له البشت أو العباءة الجاهلية يعني تكون مفصلة يعني فيها لها أكمام يعني مقيد يعني لها طرف أو أكمام كده توضع فيها تكون ما يقال له البشت أو العباءة الرجالية يعني هذه يقال لها الجبة.
And also another garment called jubba.
يعني فتحات الجبة.
And this jubba was opened from front.
والقباء مثل الجبة ولكن
And another garment called qaba, which is the reverse of the jubba. It is opened from behind. Sheikh said similar to the clothes of the hospitals. When someone goes to the hospital, they may make him wear some kind of a garment that is opened from behind. It's usually challenging to get in this type of clothes. And usually these garments are supposed to be worn above your original clothes, the clothes that you are already wearing. In fact, in hospitals, they ask you to strip completely naked and then wear it, but that's not the case here. The case here is that these clothes should be worn on top of the clothes that you are wearing. And even Sheikh says that they sometimes even used to hold to be used to hold the guns that they used, not the guns, the swords that they used to carry. The swords that he used to carry. Guns.
في الحديث يعني لبس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جبة رومية ضيقة الكمين.
And there is a hadith in which it was said, saying that the Prophet peace be upon him wore that jubba, which again was open from behind, with two tight sleeves. And when he wanted to do ablution, the sleeve was too tight to the extent that he couldn't wash his arm, so he took it off and he washed his arm, peace be upon him. Took the sleeve off and he washed his arm, peace be upon him. The poet says that there was all, the Prophet peace be upon him also used to wear a suit, a red suit. And when we say suit, it's not like the nowadays suit. It was a completely different looking suit. But the reason we call it suit is that in the Arabic language, any two garments that are matching each other in terms of color, you call them suit. You call them suit. And same thing happens today. She says, when you wear a suit now or a tuxedo or anything like that, because the textile and the color of the trousers match exactly the textile and the color of the jacket, it's called suit. The same thing was back then. Back then, any time when the lower part of the lower garment was exactly similar to the upper garment in terms of the color and the textile, they would call it suit. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, once wore a red suit, and he looked very handsome in it, peace be upon him. Just as here, there is a controversy among the scholars about wearing red clothes, is that the Prophet, peace be upon him, forbade us to wear red clothes and to wear clothes that are dyed with saffron. But in the meantime, the Prophet wore this red suit. So how can you reconcile these two things? There are parties here of scholars. The first party of scholars said that when the Prophet forbade us to wear red clothes, it was only because it is a disliked act. He was recommending against it, but he was not forbidding it completely. The other party said, no, it's actually that the Prophet forbade us to wear red clothes because at that time the red clothes were most significantly or most predominantly made of silk, and the Prophet forbade us to wear silk. The third party said, no, actually, in fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, forbade us to wear the red clothes because at that time these red clothes were dyed with saffron, and this used to be the clothes of the disbelievers at that time. So the Prophet forbade them to wear these clothes because the disbelievers were famous for wearing them, and he didn't want them to look like the disbelievers. Yet the fourth opinion of some of the scholars said, no, it's not all this. In fact, the red suit that the Prophet wore, peace be upon him, was not completely red. It was red mixed with some other colors. It was actually striped, red and black. It was striped red and black, red stripes and black stripes. So it was not completely red, it was not plain red, it was actually red and striped with black, or black and striped with red, or black and white and red stripes. So that party of scholars said it is okay for people to wear red, for men to wear, for people to wear red if it is mixed with another color, or if it is printed with another color. شيخ هل في مذهب مسألة يعني الإنفاق على الملبس يعني من ناحية مثلا خاصة إنه شيخ في بعض يعني خاصة هنا في هذا البلد انه الملابس ما يوجد منها يعني الجيد الا لو الواحد انفق فيها يعني ايش المذهب في هذا الشأن ايش مذهب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الشأن عليه السلام. I was asking Sheikh about spending money on clothes because there are some countries, and this one is one of them, where if you want to really wear good clothes you have to spend a lot of money. What about that? What is the opinion? How did the Prophet go about that? Sheikh says the best of the things is to be a mainstream, not to be extreme. The Prophet, peace be upon him, forbade us to wear clothes that are too fancy to the extent that make us look different amongst people. So when we say different here, it's either to the extreme because it's very expensive to the extent that everybody looks at you as someone different, or so cheap to the extent that you wear very bad clothes and people look at you as someone very cheap. But you gotta be mainstream, in between. Neither wear shabby clothes that people would look at him and say, oh my God, look at how cheap this guy is, nor should you wear very expensive clothes that people look at you and say, oh my God, look at how fancy these clothes are. You should go in between. And our religion is a religion of moderateness. It's a moderate religion, and it's a religion of mainstream. You should always be moderate. Do not deliberately go and buy clothes that are very expensive and not deliberately go and buy clothes that are very cheap. But in the meantime,
خيره الله يوم القيامة من أي حلل الإيمان شاء يلبسه.
In the meantime, there is a hadith in which the Prophet peace be upon him said, whoever abandons clothes or expensive clothes or whoever abandons expensive clothes out of modesty to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will give him the choice to wear whatever he wants amongst the clothes of belief or the clothes of faith or the suits of faith. So if you're capable of buying expensive clothes and you abandon that for the sake of Allah because you want to look modest, because you want to be modest, even though you're capable of buying it, but you let go of that because you're modest and you're moderate, so on the day of judgment Allah will make you wear whatever you want out of the suits of faith that looks very symbolic to you, but actually these things take concrete form on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about taqwa or righteousness or piety in Quran, and he said that piety is a certain wardrobe, that the wardrobe of piety that is better for you. So the point is, the Prophet peace be upon him was very moderate in his clothing. Very moderate, the usual clothes that people would wear, nothing so expensive and nothing shabby. But in the meantime, some of his clothes were very not very expensive, but very good, splendid, because he would use them to meet with dignitaries, with kings, with people of power, with people of authority. And also he used to wear such type of clothes in Eid, when he is celebrating Eid. So there is no doubt that some of your clothes should be very splendid clothes with which that you use to meet with dignitaries, if you meet with any of those, or to for specific occasions. But the rest of his clothes were the usual clothes made of cotton, wool, whatever people wear, the average things that the people wear. A question here about, you said that we shouldn't wear something to look different or odd. If we live in a certain culture and this culture is not used to certain clothes, if we wear clothes that do not belong in that culture, does that mean that we are seeking to be odd? Sheikh says, if you do that, if you wear, for example, Afghani or Pakistani clothes in Morocco, and the Moroccans are not used to Afghani clothes, it's still a suit. If you wear a shirt and a pair of pants, it is still something that people know. But be aware here that some people sometimes wear clothes that are different than the culture where they live. So some people wear the imama, and the imama is the head wrap, where they wrap the head leave a small piece of clothes fall from that imama and cover the back of the head, or the side, one side of the head, like the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to wear. The imama used to be the head garment for Muslims for centuries. But then nowadays it's not anymore. People even don't know it. People now wear westernized clothes. Even in the Gulf countries or the Persian Gulf countries, they actually, rather than wearing the imama, they wear a different type of clothes, where they just wear a headscarf and this black thing with which they fix that scarf on top of their heads. Sheikh says that some of the scholars of Saudi Arabia, and the reason he's bringing that up is that these scholars had that opinion, not because they're from Saudi Arabia, but because they basically studied this issue. And they said that even if you wear the imama nowadays, this is going to be considered looking odd, because people are not used to the imama, even though the imama used to be the garment that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to wear on his head. But if you try to do that now, it will be like if you're seeking to look odd, and that is not not recommended probably in every country. In some countries that will be problematic. You should wear the clothes that make you look like a Muslim, but yet not the clothes that would bring you to a situation where you look at as if you're odd. But other scholars said that if you do that because you wanted to follow the footsteps of the Prophet, peace be upon him, then you will be rewarded for it.
يأتي بمعنى أي قطعة قماش يعني غير مخيطة أو غير مفصلة يقال لها الكساء. ربما ابتدى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكساء وحده ليس عليه غير عليه الصلاة والسلام، يعني ربما لبس كساء ولم يلبس غيره ويكون هذا الكساء.
Sometimes he would wear one garment, clothes that would cover his whole body, from the shoulders all the way down to the
قال وربما كان الإزار وحده ليس عليه غيره ليس عليه غيره يعقده أو بعقدة في نسخة يعقده في نسخة بعقدة وربما كان الإزار وحده ليس عليه غيره بعقدة أو يعقده.
And sometimes he would wear only the azar, which is the lower garment that covers the lower part of the body, with no clothes on the upper part of the body.
قال وربما كان عليه مرط مرحل يقنع لا يشتط. ربما كان عليه مرط ربما لبث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرطا، والمرط كساء من الخز او الصوف. الخز اللي هو نوع من منسوج من حرير وصوف، الخز اللي هو قماش منسوج من حرير وصوف او من صوف، يعني المرط اما يكون خزا واما ان يكون صوفا.
And sometimes the Prophet would wear what they used to call mirt.
قالوا
And the material from which that myrrh was made is mostly wool and partially silk. And the scholar said that if the clothes that you wear is made of two materials, one of them is silk, but the silk here is taking, the silk here is the lower percentage, then that would be okay. So if the garment that you're wearing has a percentage of silk, but that percentage is not significant, then that is okay. And the myrrh used to be worn on to cover the lower part of the body, like the izar, to wrap the lower part of the body.
فكان النبي حسن يلبس أحيانا ومرحل يعني منقوص عليه تصاوير معنى مرحل يعني منقوص عليه
and that myrrh used to be decorated or printed
كان يلبس المرقى المرحل يعني منقوص عليه تصاوير طبعا التصاوير التي لبسها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التي كانت توجد في ثياب يلبسها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
And let's make sure to mention that these pictures were, or these prints or pictures were for things that had no souls, soulless things, like trees, natural scenery, and things like that, but not things that had souls. Some of the scholars said that if you wear something that has a soul on it, if you wear clothes that have pictures of something that has soul on it, then that is okay, because usually when you do that, such pictures will be humiliated because you are wearing them.
لكن لم يرد صراحة يعني أن ثياب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان فيها صور من ثياب المرحل يعني لم يرد صراحة لكن نوعية النبت المرحل ويكون فيه نقوش وتصاوير
So if you wear iconoclastic, as they say, iconoclastic clothes, then that is fine. Because usually people do not worship the clothes or do not do things that would lead to anything that does not humiliate the clothes. What is the percentage of silk that is allowed? It has to be below 50%. It has to be below 50%, and it should not be connected, meaning that the whole the textile should be mixed and interlaced with something different. The whole textile should not be made of silk. But if the piece of silk in the cloth is connected, then it should not go beyond four fingers in terms of length. And if it is in your garment, then that is okay. It should not be beyond the length of four fingers. But when it comes to garments that have a percentage of silk in them, then that percentage should not be beyond 50%.
لا أربعة أصابع لو متصلة يعني المتصل لغاية أربعة أصابع لا حرج.
She says when we said four fingers, the width of four fingers we meant when there is one full piece made of 100% silk, then that is okay. But when it is not a full piece made of 100% silk, then the silk should be mixed with something else in the garment, and that percentage of the silk should be lower than 50%.
قال يقنع لا يشتط يعني يقنع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بهذا لا يشتط يعني لا يجاوز عليه الصلاة والسلام. كان يرضى عليه الصلاة والسلام بما يجري من الثياب عليه.
Then the point here that you should be aware about is that the Prophet was pleased with any clothes that he had. He would always be satisfied with the clothes that he had.
الثقال والنقط يعني عادة يكون أسود اللون أو غالبا يكون أسود اللون. بعده يقول وربما صلى بثوب واحد منتحفا به لغير زائل. ربما صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بثوب واحد منتحفا به عليه الصلاة والسلام يعني يلفه عليه. ربما صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بثوب واحد يلتحف به يعني يلفه عليه الصلاة والسلام. ووردت بعض الأحاديث التي تنهى عن الصلاة بالثوب الواحد، لكن قالوا هذا إذا كان يخشى ظهور العورة، يعني إذا كان الثوب الواحد تنكشف منه عورة الإنسان يعني إذا صلى فهنا ينهى عن ذلك. إذا كان ثوبا واحدا يعني سابغا يغطي البدن.
And sometimes the Prophet peace be upon him even say his prayers in one piece of garment
that is big enough to cover his whole body. فوق كعبيه هما اقتصارا بل ربما كان لنصف الساق تواضعا لربه الخلق. يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
The Prophet peace be upon him never wore any clothes that were below his heels.
فكان ثوب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإزاره يعني لا يصل إلى
In fact, every piece of clothes that he ever wore was above his heels to the extent that sometimes they would be at his or at the level of his shins out of modesty to his Lord, peace be upon him.
بل ربما كان لنصف الساق ربما رفع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قميصه حتى يكون إلى نصف الساق. وورد في حديث ابن عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أزرة المسلم أزرة المسلم إلى نصف الساق فإن أبى إلى الكعبة.
There was a hadith in which the Prophet peace be upon him said the izar of the Muslim should be to the shins and if not then it should not go or it should be to the heels. The Prophet peace be upon him used to love in everything that he did, he used to love to start by the right, not the left, the right. So he would put his arm into the right part of the clothes first. But then when he would take off his clothes, he would take off his clothes starting from the left side first. Also in shoes, he would put his right foot in the shoes before the left one.
وأخراهما تخلع اليمنى تكون هي أولاهما تنعل وأخراهما تخلع يعني
And when he would take off his shoes, he would take off the left one first. So when he puts on the shoes, he puts on the right one first, and when he takes off the shoes, he takes off the left one first.
كذلك في الأكمام يعني يلبس كم اليمنى أولا ثم اليسرى وعند النزع ينفع اليسرى اولا قال كانت له ملحفة مصبوغة بزعفران نوب ورس ينبت. يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت له ملحفة والملحفة ايضا من الثياب غير المقطعة قطعة قماش طويلة يعني يتغطى بها عند النوم وتلف على البدن في البرد وغيره وكذا عند الحاجة إليه فوق الثياب. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت له ملحفة وهذه الملحفة كانت مصبوغة بالزعفران والورس. الورس نوع من النبات الذي يصبغ به نبت مصبغ به الزعفران معروف أيضا نبت مصبغ به وصبغه لونه أحمر يعني صبغ صبغة الزعفران والورس كذلك تعطي لونا أحمر.
And some of the clothes that he would wrap himself with and sometimes were dyed with saffron, which gave him some red color. And he would also sometimes cover himself in these garments.
حديث ما جاوز الكعبين ففي النار.
The brother is asking with the hadith of what goes beyond the heels is in the hellfire. Sheikh says the hadith is correct and authentic, but this is for those who do it out of arrogance. Out of arrogance, because in the time of in the old times, or even now maybe, or I don't know if this is applicable now, but in the old times, people used to wear clothes that are long enough so that they drag it behind them out of arrogance. In fact, they used to be proud of having long clothes that would drag behind them. Their clothes would drag behind them. And they used to do that as a sign of richness and wealthiness, saying to everyone around them that we don't care if these clothes get dragged in the mud because we have other clothes. We don't care, we are rich enough, we're wealthy enough. So it used to be a sign, it evolved and it became a sign of richness, wealthiness, and arrogance. So if someone wants to show himself, show off, he would wear clothes that are lengthy and clothes that would drag behind him on the floor or on the ground. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he came, he forbade the Muslims to do that, because Muslims should not be arrogant. So it is forbidden for someone to do it out of arrogance, but those who do it and they are not arrogant, it is a disliked act for them. It is not recommended for them to do that, even that they're not doing it out of arrogance, but it is a disliked act for them. It is not recommended. But as we mentioned way back then, they used to do it sometimes out of arrogance, drag their clothes behind them on the ground. And the completion of the hadith, the story of Umar, when a young man came in to take a look at him when he was sick, or when he was actually dying. A young man came to visit him, and he said to the young man, "Oh young man, lift up your clothes from the ground. This is cleaner for your clothes and closer to your Lord. Closer to your Lord. If you drag your clothes behind you, definitely they will get dirty. You don't want that. And eventually you're going to lose them. They're not going to work with you more than once, because back then they didn't have washers and dryers and detergents and all sort of and whiteners and stuff like that. But nowadays, even nowadays, you wouldn't want to dirt your clothes by dragging them behind you. But the point is, you used to do that back then for arrogance. So the Prophet came and forbade us to wear long clothes to the extent that we'd be dragging them behind us.
فقال من لبس ثوبا جديدا فقال الحمد لله الذي كساني ما أواني به عورتي وأتجمل به في حياتي ثم عمد إلى الثوب الذي أخلق الثياب القديمة يعني عنده فتصدق به كان في كنف الله وفي حفظ الله وفي ستر الله.
There is a hadith in which the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever buys new clothes, and says, but this is not a very authentic hadith, whoever buys new clothes and say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, who sustained me with what I can cover myself, and beautify myself amongst the people, and then goes back to his old clothes and gives them away for charity, then he will be sponsored by Allah. This is not a very authentic hadith, Sheikh says. But the authentic thing is that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, would wear clothes, he would say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who covered my shortcoming, or who covered my body, who covered my awra. And he also said, peace be upon him, whenever you buy new clothes or wear new clothes or wear clothes in general, you should say, praise be to Allah who gave me this so and so, and you name what you're wearing, who gave me this shirt, who gave me this suit, without any power of, or strength of mine. That's the etiquette of wearing clothes in Islam. And when you wear clothes, you praise Allah for giving you this clothes. Because there are so many people in the world that do not have as many clothes as we do. Always remember that. When Allah blesses you with clothes, you should say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah that blessed me with clothes, blessed me with this shirt, without any power of my, without any power or strength of mine, because He is the one who sustains you with these clothes, while there are so many others around the world that do not have these clothes. And he also used to wear the imama, the famous imama that we talked about before, which is a head wrap that wraps the head, and with one piece of it left to fall from that imama, to fall down from that imama.
في حديث أخرى أنه كان يلبس عمامة سوداء وكان له عمامة بيضاء أيضا، كان ربما لبس عمامة سوداء عليه الصلاة والسلام، أحيانا يلبس عمامة بيضاء عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقيل لبس عمامة سوداء دسماء ففسرت بعمامة سوداء. التفسير الآخر قالوا دسماء يعني لونها لون الدسم، الدسم.
And this imama, in some of the interpretations, it was mentioned that this imama was black. And in fact, other interpretations mentioned it was, it looked like creamy. And they supported their opinion by saying that the perfume that the Prophet used to wear on his head sometimes would leak into that imama and make it look like creamy a little bit.
قال ونعله الكريمة المصونة طوبى لمن مس بها جبينة لها قبالان بسير وهما ستيتان سبق شعرهما. فيقول ونعله الكريمة المصونة, يقول نعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ويصف نعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم,
and his beautiful noble shoes, peace be upon him. They are noble because they touched his body, his honorable body, peace be upon him. And everything that he touched should be called noble. And the poet here says, lucky he whoever touches the shoes of the Prophet, peace be upon him, even put him on top of his head. Because he'd be blessed then.
قبال بين الإبهام والسبابة, وقبال بين السبابة والوسط. القبال اللي هو إيه؟ السير الذي يكون بين الإصبعين. فكان لها قبالان, يعني قبال واحد بين الإصبع الكبير والسبابة.
And it had two parts up front. One that would take the bigger toe
سير على ظهر القدم. يعني قبالان.
And the other one would take the three fingers to the end of the foot.
السبابة والثاني بين السبابة والوسطى, ويجتمعان إلى سير على ظهر القدم. سير يعني عريض على ظهر القدم، فهذا على ظهر القدم تجتمع إليه القدمان. ونعلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانتا ستيتين، والستية هي التي صنعت من جلد البقر المذبوح
الذي
يزيل عنه شعره، جلد البقر المذبوح الذي يزيل عنه شعره. هذه كانت نعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من جلد البقر المذبوح. والنعل يعني بالمناسبة اللي هي يعني
And these shoes, by the way, were not like the shoes of nowadays. They're basically like the slippers. And they were made again out of cow skin that had no hair. So the hair would be taken out of the skin. And then the shoes would be made out of the cow skin. And the, when you measure it, you'd be able to measure it with the full width or the full span of your hand and add the length of two more fingers. As Sheikh mentions here, one full span of a hand and then the span of two fingers. That was how the length of the of one
slipper.
She says, in fact, I have a picture for them.
يعني بهذا الشكل يعني توجد يعني الصورة اللي معنا، فهي طولها كذا يعني كان شبر، وبعد الشبر ايه عرض يعني
so one full span of a hand and after the span of the hand the span of two fingers
الكعبين سبع أصابع
or the width of two fingers
and
the width from the side of the heels would be the width of seven fingers, just as Sheikh is showing you here. And when it comes to the middle part of the foot, that would be the length, that would be the width of five fingers. And the upper part of the slipper would be the width of six fingers. So six fingers in the upper part, five fingers in the middle, and seven fingers in the back part of the, slipper, in the heel part of the slipper. Sheikh says you don't have necessarily to make your slippers similar to the slippers of the Prophet, peace be upon him, but it would be nice if you know how and what was his types of clothes that he used to wear and his etiquettes when he was wearing them.
رأسها محدد، رأسها محدد يعني مدبب يعني كما ترون في الصورة هكذا.
And the head of the slippers was pointed. It was pointed from the front. The front of it was pointed.
ورأسها محدد وعرضنا بين وعرضنا بين القبالين نصف باعان ضدهما. عرضنا بين القبالين بعرض أسبوعين يعني. يعني يوجد هنا قبال بعدين مسافة أسبوعين ويوجد القبال الثاني.
And as he, as Sheikh mentioned in the beginning, there are two openings out of the slipper. One opening that takes two fingers, and this is for the biggest toe. And the other opening is for the rest of the toes.
صورة أو رسم يعني تمثال والصورة أو الرسم
And he said he drew it himself, Al-Hafiz al-Araqi, the poet here, drew it himself. He said, what's an honor to even talk about it. That's how much they used to love the Prophet, peace be upon him. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say, or to used to recommend to the traveler to carry. To carry as many shoes as possible. And he used to say, you are going to be riding as much as or as long as you have shoes. Sheikh says, the brother is saying, if you are walking. Sheikh says, yes, definitely if you're walking, then the shoes is as important as it gets. And the environment at that time was very harsh. And that is why he would say to someone who's traveling, try to have as many shoes as possible, because you'll need them. But his words are applicable even now, or at any time, in any circumstances. Then the following section talks about the ring of the Prophet, peace be upon him, his ring. His ring was made of silver, and it had one precious stone. It was sound, it had no cracks. And it was written on it, Muhammad, Rasul Allah, Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. And he wrote it upside down. So Muhammad was in the lowest or the bottom line, Rasul was in the middle line, and Allah was on the top line. Muhammad Rasulullah, he wrote it upside down. Muhammad in the bottom line, Rasul in the middle line, and Allah in the top line. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. Three lines. Muhammad, the bottom line, Rasul, or the messenger of, in the middle line, and Allah in the top line. And the scholars debated whether he wore it because of decoration or because of using it. Because it was actually told that the reason he wore it is that he used it as a stamp. He used it as a stamp. Anytime he wanted to stamp a letter, he would put some ink on it, and then he would stamp the letter with that ring. So whenever he would send any letter to the kings or the leaders or the heads of tribes, he would have the letter written for him and then stamp it with his ring, peace be upon him.
لأنه كل كلمة في سطر مستقل، كل كلمة الكلمة كاملة في سطر، لأن طريقة الكتابة العربية القديمة من رأى منكم بعض المحطوطات القديمة وبعض المصاعد القديمة زي الطريقة المعمول بها في اللغة الإنجليزية الآن، يعني اللي هي هنا لما يجي آخر السطر تبقى بعض حروف الكلمة فيكملون الحروف.
And the author or the poet here said there is no cracks. In fact, it's not cracks. There is no breaks or line feeds. And the reason for that is that the Arabs at that time used to write words, definitely in letters, but eventually if they ended up with a word that they cannot complete, then they would complete the word on the following line. And the brother here has an example. Of a word that is at the end of the line, and then the rest of the word is at the beginning of the new line. So the author said that Muhammad Rasulullah was not written this way. It was written in a way that every word was in a separate line.
لم يبقى من كلمة محمد في سطر حق الجاي في سطر آخر الكلمة كاملة في سطر. قال وخصه لباطن يختم به وقال لا ينقش عليه يشتبه. قال وخصه لباطن يختم به وقال لا ينقش عليه يشتبه.
He said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to flip that ring around so that the precious stone would be to the palm, not to the back of the hand. It used to be to the direction of the palm, or used to be to where the palm is, not to the back of the hand. And he ordered his companions not to have similar rings so that nobody would mix or confuse his signature with the signature of anybody else, because as we mentioned, he used to use this ring as a method of signature to stamp the letters. So he ordered the companions not to have rings with the same kind of carving, so that people or receivers that receive his letters would not confuse his signature with the signatures of anybody else. But the Sheikh said that this is during his life. Now we can do it if you want.
إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يلبس خاتمه في خنصر اليد اليمنى أو خنصر اليد اليسرى.
He said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to wear it in his little finger of the right hand or the little finger of the left hand.
قال كلاهما لمسلم.
And Muslim, Sahih Muslim, said that.
أخذتم في اليمين واليسار كلاهما أيضا جاء في صحيح مسلم وكلاهما جاء في صحيح البخاري. في البخاري ومسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تقدم في اليمين وفيهما أنه تقدم في اليسار عليه الصلاة والسلام. بعض أحاديث خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتخذ أول من اتخذ خاتما من ذهب صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل تحريم
some of the hadiths mentioned that the Prophet at the beginning wore a ring made of gold before gold was forbidden to men, and that was at the little finger of the right hand. And then when gold was forbidden to men, or men were forbidden to wear gold, the Prophet took it off and wore a ring of silver, and he wore it in the left, in the little finger of the left hand. This hadith, if we reconcile it with the first one, it would mean that the last thing that the Prophet did was wearing his silver ring in the little finger of the right hand. But some of the hadiths mentioned that this same finger, this same ring made of silver the Prophet, peace be upon him, would wear it sometimes in the little finger of the left hand and sometimes in the little finger of the right hand. And this is the same thing that the companions did too.
وورد أيضا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لبس خاتما له فص حبشي له فص حبشي يعني له فص من الأحجار يعني الكريمة وكذا من أحجار الحبشة فلبس خاتما له فص حبشي.
And the hadith mentioned that the Prophet also wore a ring with a precious stone from Abyssinia. So it means that he had two rings, peace be upon him, the one that had the precious stone from Abyssinia and the one that had a precious stone on top of which there was a printing of his name, peace be upon him, Muhammad Rasulullah. Maybe one of them he used sometimes to wear in his left hand and sometimes the other one on the right hand, or maybe both of them in two different hands. But it was never told that he wore both of them during the same time. What about during ablution? What the Prophet peace be upon him would do? Sheikh says what was supposed to happen here is that if you have a very tight ring, then you take it off. Or you move it actually a little bit so that the water covers the area under that that ring. But if the ring was big enough and is not tight, then you can do the ablution on top of it and make sure that the water leaks inside so that it covers also the place under the ring. It was mentioned in hadith that the Prophet peace be upon him, whenever he wanted to go to answer the call of nature, he would take off his ring and leave it behind because he wouldn't go into a place where he would answer the call of nature with a ring on which the name of Allah was written. The name of Allah. So the same thing that he should do is to leave anything on which the name of Allah is written and not enter the bathroom with them. Unless you're carrying something very expensive with you and you fear that if you left it outside the bathroom, it would be stolen. But make sure that you try to cover it so that the name of Allah is not exposed in the bathroom, because the bathroom is not a place where you want to mention the name of Allah or you want the name of Allah to be apparent. Then the author moves into the section of talking about the bed of the Prophet peace be upon him. The bed of the Prophet peace be upon him. The Prophet peace be upon him had very humble bed.
كان فراش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أدم والأدم هو الجلد المدفوح الأدم جمع
which is basically
هو الجلد فكان فراشه من أدم يعني
leather or basically the skin of animals
جلد مدفوح ومحشو من الليف يعني
that is stuffed with straws
التي ينام عليها أو كذا
That is basically the mattress that he used to use. A mattress that is made of the skin of animals and stuffed with straws. It was very humble. Very humble bed. Very humble mattress. Or bed. Not splendid or expensive like others in his time. And sometimes he would just sleep on his top garment, he would fold it and sleep on top of it. And that was told by Hafsa, the mother of the believers, his wife, is that sometimes he, peace be upon him, will sleep just on his will sleep on a big textile that he would piece of clothes that he would just fold and sleep on top of it. So he would fold only once into two halves and then sleep on it. But then Hafsa said, if you fold it twice, maybe it will be thicker. It will be thicker and more comfy for you. Comfy. So he did fold it twice and he slept on it, but when he woke up, he said, no, return it as it was before. And sometimes he would sleep on flat rug, just on a rug, with nothing under it. Just a rug, peace be upon him. Just a rug, nothing under the rug. And the rugs at the time were made of straws, and they were very coarse, and they were coarse to the extent that they had some marks on his body. So you'd see marks on the body of the Prophet, peace be upon him, because of the rugs that he would sleep on. And these rugs were made of straws and very coarse. He were very coarse and would leave marks on his body, peace be upon him. Then he moves to talk about the perfume that the Prophet used to wear, peace be upon him. Now here he's talking about someone, the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to love perfume. He used to love perfume big time.
وعينه يقتلها باسمه ثلاثة في العين بالإيثار وروي اثنتين في اليسار. فيقول إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
The Prophet, peace be upon him, loved the perfume. Out of this world, he loved two things. He peace be upon him, said, I love two things out of this life. Perfume and women. And the most satisfaction of myself I found in the prayers. He said, I love out of this world perfume and the women, and most of my satisfaction was made in the prayers. He finds his satisfaction in the prayers. But two things out of this life was made beloved to him, perfume and the women. Because the prayer is not out of this world, the prayer is out of the, or something that is for the hereafter. So two things were made beloved to him in this dunya, in this world. Perfume and the women. He was a very natural person, I mean, very, very, very forthcoming, upfront person. And he used to hate bad smell. And here Sheikh says that for when it comes to women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet some strength that he didn't give to many. Some of the companions would be very astonished at his ability and would say that sometimes we would say that he has been given the power of 30 men. Sheikh says that there are hadiths that mention that he had the marital relationship with 9 of his wives in one night. So that's how strong he was, peace be upon him. It was a strength that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, out of this life, I was made to love perfume and women. And he used to hate bad smell, especially the bad smell coming from eating onion and garlic. And he said that angels hate the bad smell. Angels would find things harmful, the things that the humans find harmful or find hurting, angels find hurting too. Or basically, the Shaykh says he used to love the way henna looks, but he used not to like its smell. Because he was very very peculiar and very picky, sorry, very picky about that smell issue. And his perfumes were expensive and splendid. His perfumes were splendid perfumes, made of musk, which is made from the blood of the deers. The blood of the deers. Not the blood of the deers, but actually a gland in deers that in which the blood clots and makes this musk. The musk is taken or extracted from that gland in the deers. And also something called ambar, which is a very splendid scent, and something called oud, which is extracted from the bark of a tree in India. And kafur, which is also extracted from probably a bark or from the trees of from some trees. And Sheikh says that they used to mix them together and make very splendid perfumes. Very splendid perfumes. And sometimes he would wear mist alone. So either mist or al-ghaliya. Al-ghaliya is that mix of or that combination of scent. Made of oud, kafur, kafur and oud. And sometimes the misk alone. And sometimes the misk and that other perfume that they called al-ghaliya. And sometimes some perfume called suk, and the suk was made out of musk and some black dye. Sheikh says that the original musk looks dark red. It looks dark red, and that is how you distinguish the original musk from others, other fake musks. And sometimes that musk would be mixed with a black dye, and at that time it would be called suk, and that is the type of perfume that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would wear sometimes.
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتطيب في رأسه ولحيته عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يضع المكتوب في رأسه ولحيته عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلى وفي يديه بدنه وكذلك بالنسبة للبخور اللي هو الأعواد الخشبية التي يعني يوضع معها الفحم وتشعل يعني
also the scent that is made out of burning. So burning some of the bark of the trees to give that beautiful scent. Sometimes the Prophet, peace be upon him, would be perfumed with that scent. With the and he would use a stone called an ithmit to apply to his eyes. And blacken his eyes with it, or blacken the tips of his eyes with it, three times in each eye. That is called kuhl. Sometimes in other narrations it was mentioned that he would do that three times in his left eye, red eye, and three times in his right eye and two times in his left eye. The following one is about the miracles of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and we'll start it next time, inshallah. It will be about the miracles of the Prophet. That will be an interesting one. We call enough for tonight. SubhanAllah, Rabbana wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.